something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT. Might as well face it, you're addicted to scoops.
I'm going camping with the Cub Scouts.
And we take all your question. Singular. That's all coming up right now on TNT. We're back again, bud.
We should do some. Remember Robert Palmer, that song? I didn't mean to turn you on, but when I did, it's about like, sorry to make you horny. Sorry I made you horny.
Sorry I got you horny.
You're hanging out. And remember he died in his like early 50s from a heart attack or something, right?
Robert Palmer did?
Yeah. So he was probably riding high life, like, you know what I mean? Just rolling every night. Let's go out and party.
Okay, well, elaborate on that. Like, you think
well,
he was
think
on
about
scoops?
It. Like, probably, you know, living it up, drinking it up.
The lights are on.
Fast lane, like Charlie Sheen styles, home. Maybe. Yeah.
Remember?
Didn't mean to turn you. Didn't
remember
mean to
the
turn
models?
You. Yeah.
Wearing those black dresses and the red, red lips.
Do him like in between takes, like saying like fancy a shag.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So
I'll be like the girl playing the bass.
Gonna have to face it, you're addicted to love. What are you doing after? We could party.
Oh, I'm busy.
Well,
oh, really?
But we're having the clock until 9 p.m. Do you fancy a party? Just the two of us.
Maybe you should ask her.
Two of us is dirty. Just the two of us.
And he's looking at the other ones, though, at the same time.
How about this Hannibal Lecter no eyebrow styles?
Just the two of us.
Do you fancy a party? Just the two of us.
It's like, just the two of us. And he's pointing to looking at both. Just the twos of us.
Or his eyes are like this.
Yeah.
Do you fancy a party? Just the two of us.
And then 3, 4.
The lights are on.
Where did he come from? Did he have...
Right into
was
it.
He in a band?
He was just a London rocker, I think, right?
So like he was always a solo dude? He was never part of a thing?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's worth a wiki, I'd say, for Robert Palmer. Do you have it?
It's worth a wiki needs to be our new t-shirt slogan. It's worth a wiki.
Dial him up. Can you rip
Quickie
into
wiki.
Palmer? Quickie wiki.
Should do a quickie wiki.
Let's see.
A quickie wiki on Palmsy. Wikipedia, Robert.
Yeah. I'm sure he was like, you know, he did some time in like Free or something. One of those like British bands.
Well, that's what I thought.
What is it? It's got to be something.
But I might be thinking Steve Winwood.
Like he was like the third. No, he was like the third singer in like Rainbow or something.
Born in 49, English singer, songwriter, musician, and record producer, known for his distinctive soulful voice. Really?
Yeah,
oh, mercy, mercy me. Remember? He did a cover of that.
Mm-hmm.
He found success both in his solo career and with the Power Station. He was in the Power Station with John Taylor from Duran Duran.
Oh, that was okay. Well, that was kind of like that album, right? He had Tony Thompson on the drums there. What was that?
Addicted to Love, Didn't Mean to Turn You On.
What was that other one that was super, super long and, has a big... Some like it hot.
That's Power Station.
Like it hot. Yeah. That's the...
When the thing, when you know that the thing ain't real. Like it hot.
Big crazy drum fills.
But they were electric drum fills, right?
No, I don't think so. It was just like super gated, like hardcore room
Okay,
drums.
You sing the line and I'm going to do the horns. I'm in for a session and you tell me if it's too much.
Okay, 3, 4. Some like it hot, like it hot.
Shut it.
killing it. Great. I love
it. Yeah, that's right in the pocket,
yeah, right? It's awesome. It's good.
Everyone was earning cash on that session.
Now I'll do my horn part.
Okay. Some like it hot, and you know when the thing ain't real. That needs a calm down, guy. Guy, calm down. Or no, it's take it easy, guy, right? Hey. Take it easy.
It's so high energy, though, that track. Take like everybody's on the scoops for sure on that.
Well, everyone in the power station must be like, oh like, my god, I don't want to play Some Like It Hot. It's like, it's our only song, we have to play it. Like, oh.
No, it's because Donovan for sure produced that.
Yeah.
Right. There's one thing they need is some more gack on this.
For lack of a better term, I want this song to be ornay. But I mean it quite literally. Ornay. Boom, blah, boom, boom, bagak, boom, shak, boom, blah, bah. It's too much. How was your trumpet session today, Dad?
It was all right. It was pretty good, son. I gotta watch a football game. Hey, the session player on this track after when he gets home. Oh, I gotta just sit and watch the football, son.
No, he's gonna watch the football game while doing jumping jacks.
You do the baritone sax player going home afterwards.
Okay.
To his kids.
Okay.
Daddy, can we play?
Huh? I've been playing all day, sport.
Can we play soccer?
Huh?
Can we play?
What's that? Daddy just needs a minute. He's got reed burn. He's got the reed burn. What's wrong with you? Have you got reed burn? Okay, sounds like it hot. That's an earworm, man.
I'll be the trumpet player.
Okay.
Going home to his kid.
Okay. Dad, are you okay?
Yeah, son.
Where were you today?
God.
Are you okay? I'm really worried. Should I call Nan? Should I call Mom to come get us? If you're weak.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
What's wrong with your face and neck and mouth?
I don't know.
Also, eyes.
Just a little bit numb, son.
Where were you today?
Lobster dad. He's so gacked out. He's like a lobster.
He's lobster gacked.
Oh, he got on the gears. He got on the gears so bad, he just turned into a 2-pound lobster.
Why does everyone call your dad lobster? Did he used to fish? No. He's on the gack so hard. Oh.
Says Larry on his baseball.
How hard jacket. Are you on the gack?
On his softball league, it says Larry.
Larry the lobster? Oh, man. Lobby. What's going on, Lobby? Why do they call you Lobby?
I don't know.
They also had Get It On, Bang a Gong. Remember?
What?
That was a power station. Oh, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Get it on.
Yeah.
Bang a Gong. Get it on. Brap, 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 brower. Hey, major breaking news.
That's a T-Rex. That's great, though.
Brada, brada, brada.
Oh, okay.
Major right. breaking news on two fronts. Maybe more.
Okay.
First of all, congratulations to Jay Onright on the birth of his son.
Yeah. Nice awesome. Job, bud. Yeah.
Second of all, Corey number Hart two. Announced a cross-country tour next year. Yeah,
those are huge. Both huge.
Nah, what? Yeah. That's why...
Have you seen the pictures of him now? I saw him with Tom Power yesterday. He's kind of golden now. I didn't know he was like a... He looks like a redhead all of a sudden.
Well, I think he lives in Bahamas or somewhere down south.
So he just has, like, been roasted by the sun?
Well, I think he's been slow broiled. But his kids are, like...
all light and red.
I know. I just love the moxie of, like, yeah, we're booking an arena tour. Like,
oh, sure, why not?
Go ahead, yeah. Corey Hart. I guess he'll sell out arenas, won't he?
He's hearing all the buzz from the bods. I've been getting so many notifications of people like, it's on, let's do it.
Well, we have to go.
We're going.
Not I think we what? Do, yeah. Have you heard Rudolph yet this year?
No.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It's like, honestly, yesterday I felt that I was looking around on the television and it felt like the TV, like Christmas had already gone by. There's been so much Christmas stuff. I was like, there's still Christmas stuff on?
Did it not start earlier than ever this year?
I don't know, I guess so. People just want to have a reason to feel good, I guess, maybe?
I know, it's now a sixth party of the year long. Starts before Halloween at Canadian time.
It's like the NHL playoffs. it just gets longer and longer every year.
Yeah. There shouldn't be NHL games after Canada Day. Taggart. That is a big deal that Corey Hart is touring and will have to go somewhere. He also said that he's starting to record his album in a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume he'll be touring on the heels of this new album that he's releasing.
Yeah, sure. But
it's kind of cart before the horse, isn't it? Or is that like just awesome?
No, it probably works. I mean, it makes sense for a reason to tour. Some people think they need a new album to do that.
Right.
Even sometimes Rod Stewart will just put out a holiday record or some covers or something, but he's on tour to support.
Just have something to sell at the merch table?
Something to talk about on the morning shows, right? And here's my new album here. On Good Morning America or wherever it is.
14 digitally remastered tracks with one new one, yeah?
Donovan went back and redid Sunglasses, like a whole new version. All the tracks. Buffed up and remastered and mixed and done up.
I mean, he's going to have a moment, man. Because he actually did kind of disappear. Not to get it confused with Evangeline Lilly, because we got a bit roasted for that.
I know. Well,
whoa.
And I've seen those Ant movies, so my bad.
So wait a second.
Turns out she's got more money than all of them.
So when people say Evangeline. The Ant movies... Does that mean...
Ant-Man and Wasp and the Wasp-Man and the Ants.
I haven't seen any of those.
Yeah, my John's a Marvel. He loves the Marvel stuff.
Right. But it stands to reason. I mean, she was great on Lost. She's obviously a great performer. And,
yeah, so she's a superstar now. So, well...
We didn't know.
Played ourselves. But, I mean, assets is assets. We want people to be, you know, super loaded if that's the case.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you had a 15 times a career since Lost. Right.
Yeah, she's done great. It was us who was a little lost in that case.
Yeah.
So I am broadcasting today, Jeremy, from my office in the basement, which is painted black. And the reason I'm doing this is because it's an in-service here. There's no school today. There was also no school yesterday, and there were 500,000 people without power, something crazy in the Maritimes. It was bananas.
Yeah.
But today it was a scheduled school holiday, so I'm in the basement. Behind me... Gino Valenti poster.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? From the Jonovision. And over here, this is my one of my favorite movies. There's a Girl in My Soup, starring Peter Sellers and 19-year-old Goldie Hawn, who was just luminous. Is that a word? And there is a picture of Mike Clattenburg and me from the set of Trailer Park Boys.
There he is.
And there's the poster from the Joe Schmo Show. There you go.
Nice.
It's nice to have a different environment today.
I like that. Yeah.
Nice to be hiding down here in the basement, trying to keep it quiet, you know?
This is, I'm in the same room I'm always in.
But, Jer, you're in a room that is in a house that is the Globe and Mail House of the Week. Tell the people.
It is, yes.
It's exciting.
Well, I'm planning on moving it around the neighborhood. So, this place is up and we're selling it and we're gonna live around here somewhere else. We've got our eye on a couple places, but it's been something we've been thinking about for a bit because it's for the kids. It's there's a, you know, the lake is beautiful, but I think they want a pool as much as kids love.
Yeah.
So, and maybe you know, a different kind of space, a place that I can do more, obviously stuff with what we're doing with CCS, a better space to use as a production studio as well as a recording and all that stuff. So
yeah, maybe more yard.
Just a different spot. So, and this place is amazing, and we built it and designed it so specific to the area and with a family in mind. So it's a great place. Someone's gonna enjoy it. But yeah, it's a little bit odd having it just kind of out there, but that's the way life is, right? Just got to be transparent with what's happening, you know, the fact that it's on sale and you can look at it and you know where I live in a way, and in a weird way, kind of, you know, that's odd. But
you said something though, and it was when Anna was in the hospital, and I talked about it at the time, how you just wanted your people back together under the same roof, and how very little else mattered. Because we often talk about if we were to ever move, if we sold our house, where would we go? Where would we live? Are we happy where we're living? I think that's just part of a natural ongoing discussion, just to check in and make sure your game is tight.
Yeah.
And really, all it comes down to is, are my people with me? And
totally.
Everything else in terms of where you are is gravy. And of course, as your family grows and expands and people have different needs, of course your space requirements will shift and change along with that. So I think that's good for you guys, man. That's exciting.
It's a great house for a young family, or if you have a couple kids, or for us, it's just these guys are okay with the next step. Everybody's cool with it, and we're not moving anywhere far. That's just the same school, and they have the same friends, and so it's all good.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
And you're going, what are you doing with Anna tonight?
I am going camping with the Cub Scouts tonight in a cabin up in the woods up north.
So you are a chaperone?
About 25 minutes. Yeah, like past Newmarket.
And how many campers are there, and what is the ratio of like adults to campers, do you know?
It's like 11 kids, 12 kids. And I think there's probably three leaders, something like that.
Is it prank styles, do you think?
What does that mean, even?
Like, are you doing any
prank
like
styles?
Camp pranks, or like, you know, are you gonna tie people's shoelaces together? Like, are you that dad?
No.
Are you gonna straighten people out?
Not with little kids, little 8-year-olds. I don't know about messing with 8-year-olds.
Are they excited? Is Anna fired up?
She is. She's totally stoked. She's ready to rock.
She's been
packing. She's got her list all dialed. Like, for 2 days, she's had everything all sorted.
Is that what they do? They give you a list of all the things that you need to bring?
Yeah, yeah. And then you just run it down. Don't you remember, man, when you did it?
Sort of. I just remember I was...
you just remembered working on the vacuuming and getting that vacuuming.
No, I remember I was the last guy there, so I had to take the bed that was left, and it was next to a guy whose nickname was Pick-a-Bum. Because he was always like, hey, smell my fingers, like that guy.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
So you didn't have the best Cub Scouts experience with that kind of hang.
It wasn't awful, but that was for some reason the thing that I remember, yeah. So do they have outcomes? Like, they have to mark off a trail or do orienteering, or is it just a hang?
Tonight they'll probably just like watch a movie in the lodge or whatever, and then go to your cabin to crash. Tomorrow they'll have events starting in the morning, like probably sleigh rides and walking in the woods and building a campfire and learning all that stuff. They're out all day on Saturday, tomorrow, and into the night. So.
And do you come home tomorrow night, or you stay two nights?
No, it's a double, so do two times. Tomorrow night, Lisa stays up tomorrow night. I'm staying tonight.
So you're doing the handoff midway through.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
That's really nice that you can go.
My thermies. My thermies.
Why is it cold?
Yeah, it's cold. It's probably like -3 right now, and it'll get down to, depending. It could be colder, but that's not too bad.
Winter thermies. You'll be lobster dad in your little sleeping bag.
Actually, I think it's hovering around 0, so I'm hoping it'll be all right. It was like -9 a couple days ago. Brutal. How is it out there? Freezing cold?
No, today's mild. Today's like above 0.
Was the wind really bad
a couple days ago? 800 clicks, something like that.
Man. Whatever. You didn't lose anything? Nothing happened?
No.
Fence is rocking?
No, my wife always says, and she's right, if you're dressed for it, it doesn't matter. So we got all bundled up yesterday and went outside, made a snow fort, and just kind of got into it, right? It's never as bad when you're out in it as it is looking out the window.
And you actually got power not too far into the evening, right?
So yeah, it was out for like 10 hours or something, so the novelty hadn't worn off yet. Do you know what I mean?
And it was during the day mostly, right?
Yeah. It was back on by dark. Let's take a break, bud.
Hey, bud.
Cross-referenced and verified, so the legend goes, the driver and Harrison Ford walk into this mid-level drug dealer's apartment where three guys are baked on the couch watching Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Welcome back, buds.
Welcome back, Larry Lobsty.
How do you think the video pod is going?
I think it's the same. It feels the same to me. Yeah? So yeah, I think it's great. Doesn't it feel the same? I'm looking at you. It's just
it
the only difference.
It feels pretty much the same. Yeah. I think, in a way, the thing that I really liked about when it was just audio is that it forced you to listen and really listen to the other person because you didn't have the visual cues that you have in a face-to-face interaction.
But I have, with these headphones, I can hear you better than when I was on the phone.
Yeah, it's true. That is true.
That's one thing which is actually the best.
Yeah.
I don't think we step over each other as much.
No, and I'm curious to hear from buds if they think, especially those that listen to the audio version still, is the audio version the exact same or is it different?
Yeah, I don't know. I find it similar or the same because I still listen to the audio.
Do you?
To reference stuff, yeah.
To be honest with you, I haven't watched the video version.
I guess you should see it then.
Yeah, I should. I also don't watch most of the things that I do, to be honest with you. And I know you would count on me for candor and honesty. I don't know why. Kind of live them, don't need to watch them maybe.
I think it falls under the same category as before, where it's like if we're having fun, that's the only thing that matters.
Yes. Anyway,
right? Because it still feels like we're having laughs and the same way in terms of communication, almost better in a way.
Yes.
Because I know visually some of the stuff has been more entertaining for me because I get to see your face do these creeps sometimes, and that's different.
Like this guy?
Yeah, when you're right in the lens. For those of you at home, it's that creepy guy that stares in the eyeballs.
Stares in your soul. Yeah. But I wonder if with the visual aspect.
What's that?
I wonder if with the visual aspect now, like, just doing Andrea, for example, does it seem weird? Because I still look like me, but I sound right like her.
I think you look more like Andrea because you can see you.
Because my face kind of takes on her personality
And you're doing the faces.
Right. But I guess when you're listening, when you hear, like, what do you want for that? You get to kind of fill in what Baron would look like. But if you're watching, he looks like me. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it adds an interesting layer because you kind of get to peek behind the curtain a little bit.
Well, the beauty of it is you have both options.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mr. Brightside.
That's right.
Mr. Bro.
So bright that look.
Oh, that's what we should do. We should do techno freezing guy.
It's like I could have one of those boxes right underneath me to...
I thought you were doing a bit, but it actually, image froze when you made your eyes go wide like that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't see you anymore.
Can you see me now?
No.
What if I do this?
I don't know, you know?
I do this?
No, you know, I can't see you.
Like those guys that can do the thing with their eyeballs where they put the eyelid upside down and... It's all upside down. Remember those guys?
I don't know how you discover you can do that.
I know. And then they do this, and they're like, look, and their eyeballs are upside down. And then I used to say, like, look, I'm doing it. Look, I'm doing it. I'm like,
or my girls can bend their thumbs back to their wrists.
Yeah, that's, see, that's...
makes me faint.
Yeah, that's too much. Now, because I disappeared, now you disappeared.
Did I?
I can still hear you the same, yeah.
They also, interesting. We can hear each other again.
I was going to show, yeah, exactly. Here we are, right back to the old pond, right now. That's so weird that you were saying it. But now I can't see you, but I can hear you. And the same thing. And I was going to show you if you can do any finger tricks, because I can do a couple.
Go on. Like, what kind of finger tricks?
I can move this finger back pretty far. That's pretty far back.
You're going to have to describe... It's described video, bud. You're going to have to elaborate.
That's pretty far back, right?
Can't see you, bud.
I can bend the edges. So I have, like, claw hands or, like, Larry Lobster.
Can't see, bud.
Fun stuff. I was just manipulating the tendons at the edges of my fingers and in the middles and then at the other sides.
I know just that... just
from dexterity and stuff.
My girls can do a thing where they gather their pinky. Their pinky is, like, in the middle. They clasp their hand and stick their pinky up through the middle like a bouquet of
pinky. Yeah, I can't do that. Yeah, that's hard. I can't do that.
Are your hands able to do that because of your career?
I don't know. When you hold a stick, you hold a drumstick, you hold it here. It goes across your palm like that, but it's in your fingers. So you can play it like that way or move your fingers around to use it, stuff like that.
What, if any, issues do you have physically from playing?
I got sore fingers sometimes, wrists. If I hold something for too long a little bit, shoulders a bit, hips a little bit, knees a little bit if it's raining.
Like arthritis-y?
Yeah, a little, not arthritis-y at this point, but I can feel the rain, like if something in my body.
Yeah.
You know, just drumming for almost 30 years. It'll be 30 years next year in April.
So what do you do if you have a minor injury, like your foot hurts, your bass pedal foot, and you have a show? What do you do?
You're fucked.
You just have to do it.
If you can't play, then you can't, yeah. I've had to cancel stuff. I injured my knee, and Matt Cameron was a bod and filled in for me from Pearl Jam.
So would that be noticeable to the people there?
That was
there?
During a recording, though. So it was on Spiritual Machines. He played on a couple songs because I couldn't play.
No way.
But he's a bod. That's why his bodism bleeds through into American bodism.
Crazy.
Pacific Northwestern bodism.
Did you ever have to cancel a concert because of an injury? I'm sure I've asked you this, I just can't remember.
Never injury, but I've had personal stuff happen, like back in the day, yeah. Like issues where I've had to take a week off.
Wow. That was it,
yeah.
What did they do, fly someone in?
Yeah, a buddy of mine, Jason Sutter, who actually plays with Cher. He also played with, like, Marilyn Manson and Foreigner.
So he just filled in for you for a week?
Yeah, he was, like, boning up on the chats, reading up chats, playing our songs to chats.
Not what it's all about, certainly, but do you still get paid for the shows that you miss?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm. He gets a salary and we pay him out of that, but I still get my pay. Still,
so who covers that insurance?
Still a shareholder.
Yeah, I guess
you think
so.
You think Tim Cook, if he's not there 1 week, he doesn't collect something?
Like the factory's still open.
Yeah, exactly.
Factory's still manufacturing widgets, even though you're not there.
Like who was on the line? Who was it in the room with the original Apple guys? Like, I'm sure there's a couple guys who were just like kind of sleeping.
But they were there.
But they're there, and that's just the way it is, no matter what.
Did it ever happen with the other guys in the band, guitar or bass? Like, they have to go, they have to miss a thing.
Yeah, bass player Duncan missed a bit, having a kid, that'll do it. Smart move. Got a duty calls. Anytime parenting, or I think he had injured, actually, too, once hurt his wrist or something. Yeah. Obviously, Maida can't have a gig without him. Might have been fun to try, though.
I thought it was interesting. That was the first Jay and Dan Jay has ever missed, and they were actually in the process of shooting by the looks of it, and Jay just had to stand up and leave.
Yeah, I know. There's footage now of the him on his phone. Oh, okay, guys, I gotta go.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so that's it. Duty calls. I love that stuff.
I love it, too, and I love that workplace is like, yeah, of course, go.
Yeah, for sure. Dan handled it.
And Jules, he's since had a couple of co-hosts.
Yeah.
He had the hedge on one night, and it looked like Lindsay Hamilton last night.
Okay, cool.
No, there's some new faces at TSN.
There are. That's the way it is. I mean, think about it. If you're in broadcasting,
yeah,
where else is there to start in terms of, other than sports, in terms of the fact that there's still a lot of opportunity there for it? Otherwise, where are you going to go? News, doing news places, it's like, I don't know, where would you start if you were a young broadcaster? Would you knock on the door at like CP24 or something and say,
I guess it depends what you want to do. But now, like when I was starting out, you would have a camera guy and maybe a producer and maybe an audio person. And now there's a guy in Halifax named Brett Ruskin who does these really complicated shoots. Like he was in a life-saving suit on a lobster boat and they threw him overboard into the water. And the rope broke when they were bringing him back up. Like, it's funny, entertaining stuff.
Yeah.
But he shoots it himself. So he has a GoPro on the boat and a camera on sticks over on the wharf and another handheld inside the boat. So it's three camera coverage, but he does it by himself.
I remember back in the day, if you'd see the real, like even Mike Campbell back in the day when he was doing the videographer with the big crazy cameras, the super heavy ones with the tapes.
Yeah.
How they always had bad backs, every single one of them.
Or one eye, like, shut, because they're used to looking in the viewfinder. What's going on, man?
Hey, how are you? So what else is going on?
And bad shoulders, too.
Yeah.
Because they were, like, 20 pounds. Remember the show ENG? How have we never talked about that?
Well, that was the show, right? They were videographer crime reporters or something?
Yeah, they were doing, like, hard news and... I feel like Art Hindle was on it. And Lisa Lacroix. Is that worth a quickie wiki?
ENG. Worth a quickie wiki. ENG. And it was all digitized. Digital LED styles. Like an alarm clock.
Guess what years ENG was on for 5 years.
Let me guess. ENG was on from 1985 to...
Close.
To 1991.
89 to 94. That was close.
Oh, okay, yeah. It was a little early.
Starred Sarah Botsford.
How could you not forget that? Sarah.
Yeah. Sarah Who Botsford else? And Art Hindle.
Art Hindle, yeah.
There are a couple of heavy-duty TV directors. Like, one's Jerry Chikariti. He was an actor on the show, and he's a serious Canadian drama director now. But that show was very sexy at the time.
ENG.
As was, yeah. There was a show with Grant Wynn-Davies called, what did he play? Forever Night, remember?
That's hard to remember. What's that? Was he a vampire?
Forever Night, and he was like a vampire or something.
Ugh.
No, vampire turned police detective, Nick Knight.
Oh my god, no
Forever
way.
Knight, yeah. And Knight is spelled like chess, like so K-N-I-G-H-T.
So he just did night gigs? That obviously didn't work.
I guess so.
It's like, come on, man, we gotta do this shift during the day. What is he, what's he like? Nah.
They're redoing Street Legal. Maybe we should dig up and like resurrect.
I'll tell you how that's ENG. Gonna go. Can I tell you how that's gonna go?
Please do.
That's going like the same way that the Candace Bergen show. That show hit the wall, man. Nothing.
So
it's going away. That's a bad idea. Street Legal. Who the hell's gonna watch that?
They did a remake of Murphy Brown.
Yeah.
And was Candace Bergen in it?
Canceled, yeah.
Was she playing Murphy Brown?
Yeah, it's all it's out like a light.
Why would they do that?
I don't know, but it didn't work. And I'm telling you, this Street Legal is going to have the same deal. There ain't no antidote for that.
Cynthia Dale's in the Street Legal.
The new one?
Yeah.
I don't know. I never watched it the first time.
Here's what I don't know. And this was the same...
God, Street Legal. It's just like... Shit's going on in the law offices. That's it, right? Fighting and...
Okay, this is the promo for the new Street Legal. You ready?
Okay.
Alex, can I see you in my chambers, please? Okay, when I say see you in my chambers, please, you say just a minute. Okay?
Oh, okay. I'm playing along? Okay. Yeah. I thought you were... All right. Okay.
Coming this fall on CBC, an old favorite... A new hit, CBC's Street Legal. Alex, can I see you in my chambers, please?
Okay, why?
Now!
All right.
That's it. That's the whole promo. I like the super angry now.
Like that you're like, I might watch it now?
Yeah, let me try a different read on now. You ready?
Okay.
Coming this fall on CBC, an old favorite, a new smash hit, Street Legal. Alex, can I see you in my chambers, please?
But I...
Now.
Okay.
It was intense, right?
Well, now I don't know. What's going on back there?
This is my question.
I think they're trying to add some new intrigue.
Now. This is my question. And the same thing happened when I was offered to be a host of Wipeout Canada. My question was... Does the fact that the person who just slipped and fell is from the Paw, Manitoba, make it infinitely funnier to a Canadian than a better Wipeout on a bigger course with somebody from somewhere else?
It's definitely funnier having a guy from the Paw going ripping into the swirl.
Is it?
For me, I don't know.
For a Canadian, is that funnier? Like, look, that guy's from Canada and he fell? Because it's the same thing with Street Legal. Does the fact that this show used to be a show you used to watch, is it better? Because I'll remember I used to like that show, so I'll probably like this show. Or should they just do a new young lawyer drama?
It was 30 years ago. Who the hell... Are they just hoping that generation is going to be like right there again? Who was watching it then? Honestly, wasn't that like 30 to 50 back then?
Okay, so this is the panic.
So are they
thing.
Going for the Zoomers? Is that what this is? Or just
no, I
Zoomers
think it's sexy
jam?
Young lawyers with a nod to the old one.
But you said it's the same people. Or is it the same like Degrassi styles where it's like one of them's a teacher still now? Like,
well, I don't know what Cynthia Dale's role is, but I know Eric Peterson from Corner Gas and from the original Street Legal is also involved. So this is the Panago thing. You know, I like Panago Thin Crust Pizza.
At Panago already? That's the driving force behind this?
No, but just listen. So a Panago franchise is $300,000 because I looked into it.
All right.
But if I was to bring a Panago franchise to Truro, where most people have never been to a Panago, you're not really paying for something that has any value because the people don't know from Panago. So why wouldn't I start a thin crust pizza place called Anago?
Oh my God.
And just make thin crust pizza. You know what I mean? I guess it's the same question with Street Legal. If no one remembers the reference, or a few people do,
but yeah.
Is that money well spent? Whose nostalgia bell are you ringing?
I'll tell you one thing. If you think you're going to make a thin crust pizza place, it's going to taste like Panago, because you like Panago, you're not going to. You have to buy the Panago to have it be like that, because of those ovens and all whatever else the hell that they do it. So
to keep that... analogy going, are you suggesting that someone could never recreate a Street Legal without all those ingredients that made Street Legal what
it
was?
That's like saying, you know, by getting the franchise, you're buying the writers and the director, all the original people that put it
ingredients,
together. Or whoever, people that are at par. I'm not saying it's not going to be a show that's any good or not. I just don't think... hoping on a show that was on 30 years ago was gonna do it, bring him back. Like, that just doesn't make sense. I think it will fall like the Murphy Brown did, in my opinion. But who gives a shit, to be honest.
Well, no, it's kind of interesting because as someone who likes to create shows and thinks they're good ideas and tries to sell them and whatever, and then something like the new Street Legal comes along, it's like, well, I don't know, is that a good pickup? I don't know. I guess time will tell.
Well, I think it's might be just is there a space for a show about lawyers? And people probably might like it because the courtrooms are full every day.
True.
Right? Is that the thing? Like, there is no lawyer show in Canada now, right?
That is true.
Cop shows and that stuff, right? But there's no lawyer show.
So, with a format like MacGyver, which is a premise where this guy is able to cobble together explosives out of baler twine and a piece of trident.
Yeah.
That's actually like a unique idea. Street Legal is a bunch of lawyers.
Yeah.
Why call it Street Legal?
I'd like to see seeing things again with a guy.
Me too.
Like Louis Del Grande.
Me too. Like, and that is another extremely unique premise.
Yeah.
And but with technology now, you could do an amazing job.
There's been shows that have stolen that concept, though, like American shows.
Oh, yeah. What was the show Anis Esmer was on? The Listener.
Yeah. And also, The Witness or whatever. Isn't that a thing where it's like they saw the future?
Right. When the guy does this, and you can tell in his head that he's thinking.
I can't see you.
But oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. What are you doing?
All this to say, in conclusion, I'm not knocking the new Street Legal. I can't. I haven't seen it. But there's another new show coming called Digstown about an African-Canadian woman who moves back to Dartmouth and takes up the legal aid lawyer's office and wants to win cases for people from her community that she thinks the system doesn't serve. That gets me excited. That's like, okay, that feels timely and like a new idea and something I haven't seen before. Not to knock the Street Legal thing. But just, I guess, under the banner umbrella category of remakes versus originality.
Yeah, I'm always going to say, first of all, the content has to be there.
Yes.
But secondary, you would think that a new show is always going to be more interesting, like a new idea.
The new Street Legal might be bumping.
One that's already been... Yeah, but it's been played out already. It's not like it didn't run its course, so... Anyway, let's take a break, bot.
Take a break, bot.
William Shatner sitting in the green room, and he just kind of, like, I don't know, he's, like, sitting looking at his phone. He's succumbed to the 21st century. So he's reading his phone, an e-book or whatever, and he lets out, like, three or four big farts in a row. Like, lifters, like,
we out.
And we're back.
We back.
We're back.
We out.
Back. Brr, back. Brr, back. Back.
We out.
We're back. Back. Brr, back. Back. Bra. Bra.
Shabatabam. Bra. Bra.
Shangduligak.
Bra.
Dumbledore. Town. Town.
Bow.
You.
That's the Tony Thompsons.
You, unlike most drummers, don't fidget. You don't drum on your pants. You don't drum on tables. You don't drum with pencils. Why?
I got it all in my head.
Is that why? You're not like fidgety paradiddler.
Not really. I think everyone is when they start playing, maybe.
Ah.
And sometimes I feel like I'm grooving a little bit, and I did learn how to do stuff very quietly and softly, too.
Like, interesting.
I could be playing a beat right now with my hands and feet, and you wouldn't know.
Allow me, if you will, to ask you this as well. I've seen pictures of Arkells, like, warming up backstage. Do you warm up?
Wasn't a big warm-up guy, no.
You just go out and start pounding.
I felt if I warmed up, then I was kind of tight in a way, because I don't play the same way as when I'm on a practice pad. It's not really the same thing. I don't know, maybe now that I'm older, I might need to loosen up. But I never really needed to. I just kind of would get out there and play my way into the show, not start off too loud. Or
it's like a bucket of balls before a golf game.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Like, you either subscribe to that or you don't.
Exactly. And you have to hit a lot of balls to just go out and play golf for a full round without being sore after 13 holes or something like that. So, yeah, it's the same. You have to build it up and then know your 1 to 10 and just kind of gauge your way. Like a runner, I'm sure, like a marathon runner.
Oh, so you get the drummer's high?
Well, once your heart rate starts going, you're going anyway. Yeah, you definitely get that, for sure.
Like, what song, like, the fourth song? When are you like, okay, I'm good, I'm loose?
Well, because your heart rate, apparently, when you're drumming, it can get up to, like, 150, 160, like, really high. Like, no different than if you're a soccer player running up and down the pitch for 90 minutes. Once you start playing, your heart rate is up for very high, really quick, ripping for a long time.
Right.
Even older drummers, like they put on the drummer from Blondie, Clem Burke, like Oxford University put all the stuff on him, and they said his heart rate for 90 minutes, like during a normal concert, it was no different than a Premier League football player.
Wow.
So there's something to be said for rocking out.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's a big workout, especially when you're playing a concert with other people, because your energy heightens. You're somehow no different than if you're thinking as a writer, you know, like if you're trying to work on a show idea, that's 5 hours of you writing. You're exhausted afterwards, like you're actually tired, you're expelling energy in some form. But when you're playing music with people, the more people involved kind of adds to that energy. So if you're playing arenas and stuff, like you're just kind of, you're just above if you were just playing in a rehearsal space with nobody. There's definitely a difference, and it has a lot to do with all that kind of energy that you're the center of. And with music, you're creating, when you're creating a groove and everybody gets aboard it, that's something that everybody feels. I'm sure if you're dancing in the crowd, you're probably pounding too, your heart rate.
Oh, I am. So if you're playing dancing at practice, obviously, it's not as intense as if you're playing in a full arena. But if you're playing in a full arena, the feel is different. But does the way you play change? Like, are you flashier?
I think your heart rate probably doesn't change that different from a room to a stage, but there's something more to when there's an audience in terms of energy.
Do you make it bigger how you play?
No, you're just somehow, it's just different. Like when you're reacting differently and you're playing differently because there's more people kind of there. I don't know how to explain it, but there's a difference.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't play differently, but I can feel a difference. You know,
cool,
guys,
bro.
Is that the cool guy?
Bro, guy, bro. Mm. I've seen you guys six times, bro. Six times this year,
bro.
Sorry, six bro. Times this month.
I've seen Trailer Park Boys seasons 1 through 10, like 700 times. And as soon as I get home, it's gonna be 701 times, bro. Like. Bro,
no, but
you don't even know your whole thing, bro.
Bro, literally.
The bros.
You are the soundtrack to, I mean, everything, bro.
Brochester. Like, you are, like, just such a huge part of Canadian culture with, like, Broligula. Like, the whole new level of.
No, but I don't even think you understand, like. Barbra Streisand, I'm serious. You, that like your drums, like I feel that, bro.
But
you know,
like,
what I mean,
Brolocks, like you're just like you're Brinopoly, man.
You're just, no, wow.
Yeah, man. Like it's like Totally, man.
No, like, can I?
You have no
can
idea.
Can I be real with you?
Come on, man. Like,
no, Brokefist at Tiffany's. You got me through some really hard times, bro.
Come on.
I'm serious.
Bronyar Stomp by Led Zeppelin. Like, seriously, don't be such, like, you're the, like, you, Rolling Stones, like, come on, like, you are, like.
No, like, not being, like, bro over the top, but you're my, like, bro versus Wade. Like, you're the case that I study, bro. You're, like,
dude,
bromantic traffic.
Your bronunciation is, like, seriously, like, come on, like, Brobo warming. Like, seriously,
oh, no.
Come on, man, like.
I'm serious, man, bromaine lettuce.
Dude,
not even joking, like, you are, like, you're my bromaine, you know?
Dude, Bohemian Rhapsody. Like, come on.
You're like a glass of bro-orange juice. Like, you are the, you're just the broiest of everyone, bro. I am literally serious.
That's
what's
a lot,
with,
that's a lot of bro-ing. The
bro
phone's
game.
Ringing. The phone's ringing. Let me address this
bro
while the
Rogan.
Phone's ringing.
Okay.
Bro Rogan.
No, I'm serious. Bro Rogan.
Two people call this house that I know.
Lisa's mom. Telemarketers.
Yeah, either it's Lisa's mom, her brother, Clay, or spammers.
So
and there's always that. There's always that break before you pick it up and you don't hear anything for a minute. That's when I hang up.
Spamla Anderson, bud. That's who it is.
It's Spamla.
Right? That's who's calling you, man.
It's
yeah.
Sir Spamla.
It's Spamla. Spam and cheese, man. That's all that is. That's Spamsterdam. Just calling from overseas. Right? That's Spamstel Light. That's a big cold glass of Spamstel Light.
That's Spramantula.
So we asked the people to ask us questions if they had any. Should we go through a few of those?
Yeah, let's do it.
I love them. These are great, thoughtful, deep questions. This one from Mitch Pollack, our bud from Q, right?
Hey, Mitch.
Good dude. Mm-hmm. You're able to transport yourself to one moment in the other host's earlier career and live in that moment as them. Which moment would you choose?
That's a great question.
Great question. And then I saw that he answered his own question, and he said he would want to be you at Woodstock and get to see all that mayhem from the stage.
In 99.
Yeah.
Well, the Woodstock 99 was kind of uneventful for me because we we left before it got out of hand, but we got to see, like, the mad amounts of people and stuff, but we were gone by the Chili Peppers.
How did you get there? Was that a helicopter in kind of thing?
No, there was like a whole road set that they had because they did one in 94 that was pretty big as well, like massive.
Right.
And that was like the original, 25th anniversary. And it's actually the 50th anniversary next year. So,
whoa. Are they going to do another one?
Why not? I mean, there's enough reason to. But they had a whole road system where you drove in and you didn't really see the crowd unless you walked for a little bit to get to the actual crowd, like where the public was. Otherwise, it was just
did
this massive. Yeah, I went out and saw Metallica for a little bit. And I saw Rage from the side stage, which was way better to watch because you're high up and you're above the side of the stage, but then you could see the whole crowd, which is great.
So did you get squashed in the crowd seeing Metallica?
I went out front, Metallica, and I was like, this place is like, it was so intense and way too many people and bottles just flying everywhere. I was like, this
oh,
is
really?
This, and it's Metallica was playing, which is like, I think they're great, but like, it's like, there was a lot of testosterone in the air, you know, like a lot, way too many dudes just cruising around.
Like it felt
uneasy?
Yeah,
uneasy. I went for like 2 seconds. I'm like, I'm going back in there. Didn't want to. It was too much. A little too out of control.
Were most people tenting?
Me. There was camping areas that were off. And like, I don't know. It was such a huge space. It's too many people to think.
Well, I was going to say, when I saw his question come through, my thought was, I'd probably want to be you opening for Halen.
Well, that was
because
good times.
not only is it a cool thing in and of itself, but I imagine maybe that was among the first really solid bits of evidence that you guys were off to the races. And I always think it's cooler. Like, I remember with Trailer Park, those first few, like, guess who apparently likes the show? Like, when there was some sort of feedback that the thing that we all suspected was true, which is we were kind of onto something. Yeah. It's always much cooler on the way up.
Sure.
Than it is once you've kind of plateaued or well, on the way down, obviously.
Because there was all the other cool shit going on around, not just that tour, but stuff like, you know, Jon Stewart show and all the press and different shows that we did on days off and colleges and small cities, smaller towns, like just on, there was so much that happened that year.
Well, there's kind of less pressure in a way,
America,
right?
America, specifically all in America. Like just,
like people are coming to see Halen. If the best case scenario is, oh, the guys that opened for them were great.
Yeah.
But worst case scenario, people get there late or you're not to their taste. No big deal. Like it's all yours for the taking.
Mm-hmm. And they were kind of, at that point, they were definitely like a rock, older people demographic. So we were still not really doing as much in alternative, new, modern rock, like festivals and shows either. So that was all starting at the same time where we were doing those shows in between and our own shows that were awesome in places like Boston or Atlanta. Or
where people are showing up to see you guys.
Yeah, just our own startup kind of shows, which were amazing.
So how many people would come out to see you guys like in Boston around that time?
Well, I think our first show was the Middle East there, and it was like 300 people or something, but that was packed.
Wicked.
And then like the Paradise and even Mamakin, which was Aerosmith's place. It's not there anymore. And then Avalon, which is a really bigger place. Just kind of made our way up the all those places across from Fenway. They're all kind of in that area and in that neighborhood. So you build your way up. Now there's a nice House of Blues there. And we did outdoor shows in Boston. But yeah, early on, all those little venues were always packed and we'd come back and there were more and more.
Hey, what's the matter, Rebs?
I love that. It's not unlike our shows, right? We make this little podcast in a vacuum and then suddenly you go out somewhere and there are a few hundred buds.
Middle of nowhere.
A great feeling.
It really is fun.
Or 30 buds, depending on where we are and what night it is.
It's true because it's when you're starting something and people are connecting on that level and it's kind of new and fresh. You're learning so much all the time. And
we started from the bottom. Now we're here.
But you, I would say, I'm trying to think. Because if you go way back, it's such a bizarre, I mean, it's bizarre. I might think like the CBC days early, just because of all the people that were around when you're walking.
Like Jarovision?
Yeah. Well, just to be there. Because like Sasuke kicking around and you see, you know, Mr. Dress-Up's on the air still. Like just all that stuff was within grasp our whole childhood.
Wayne and Schuster
were
in the same office block as ours.
That's...
Like, Wayne and Schuster.
Didn't you say you were
Wayne
there?
Wayne Rostad was around.
Didn't you say you were there when that show was kind of over, too, right? The Wayne and Schuster.
Yeah, I feel like they were maybe doing, like, still something. The odd Christmas special or something. Because they were still in and around the office and working on stuff. Mm-hmm. But they weren't, like, pumping out a show a week, even.
Tommy Hunter was still banging, though, then, wasn't he?
I don't think.
Was he at, like, what the fuck is going on here? I want to get on the air. Was that one of those points?
He probably had the odd special around that here. Time, too. Hi, Rebsy.
Hey, Rebs.
Hey, bud. But Friday Night with Ralph Ben-Murgi was on at that time. Rita McNeil show was on at that time. Sesame Park, as I mentioned, Canada's version of Sesame Street. There was so much kind of happening. Side Effects was the hospital show they did after Street Legal.
Wow.
It was just really cool. They rented the studio out to Death to Smoochie. So Robin Williams was in the building.
No way.
And being from CBC Halifax, I was used to seeing all the 22 people and the News World people and things like that. But this was like, these are luminaries.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's crazy.
Like, not see Mansbridge in the building in the distance? That's pretty wild.
People don't even know the amount, the equipment alone in that building. Like, back more then than now, it's all been sold off. But, like, the studios, the Glenn Gould stuff, like, all of the equipment that they had. They still have a lot of the incredible stuff, but some of, not like the old super incredible vintage microphones and boards, and it's still a great, amazing place, but the stuff that was in there, and the way it used to be, the way that it was kind of driven in the 60s and 70s, they would just kind of had, it was more carte blanche to musicians if they were around. It's like, oh, you want to do a show, come on in, we'll let right. you do whatever, you know, 3 or 4 days of recording, or the bands would come into the studio and make a show on just it was a creative fountain. It's not like that anymore, where
I remember, like,
there's a kind of a door there, but they used to utilize
invite
more, yeah, in the as our broadcaster, you'd think. Where it's kind of like, well, you have a voice already that's doing this, and it's only going to help us to have you come in and do whatever you want. And there was a lot, I'm sure, imagine all the shows that were created there that were just in the vaults. I think, isn't Tom doing a new show about
that stuff? Yeah, with Amanda Paris, called In the Vaults, like uncovering a lot of the audio that was recorded there and stuff over the years. The coolest thing about working at the CBC Broadcast Center in the early days was, down in the basement levels, they had all the storage for props and staging. So if you needed a couch for a skit, you'd take the elevator down to B4.
Awesome.
And that's walk so down cool. the aisles of couches or
yeah.
plants or tables or lamps or whatever. Wow. And they stored all that stuff, which was kind of like a Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Because you'd recognize pieces from, like, oh my gosh, that was on Wayne and Schuster or whatever. There's the clock from Wayne and Schuster.
Yeah.
Or there's, but they've, like, since sold all that stuff off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see all those classic sets and pieces, and
yeah,
it's all sitting around people's houses now.
Well, speaking of which, look,
you
what
got
I
something. You got
this
something.
This one I brought home.
Yeah, that's that. Is that the one, right, the main sign?
Yeah, it's called a gobo. And you put it up in the grid with a light shining through it.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes the word JonoVision appear on the floor of the studio. I have all kinds of little... I kind of balked against it when we built this house. Like, I wasn't sure if I should make it a little museum to the stuff that I've done. So in this one room, I have a lot of souvenirs like this. Here's a Gemini Award for Street Sense.
There's something.
There you go.
You could take down an attacker with that thing.
Yeah. I got this framed, hung it on my wall.
There you go, bots.
Tour poster for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never imagined I'd be touring around doing live shows with you, bot.
Yeah.
Yet here we are.
I know, and we're doing, we're getting together next week again for some recording again.
More recordsies.
This time with Timbo and Tony Bo from the Arkells, both bots, back in tow.
These guys.
At the old Baldwin Sound. What is that?
This is a musk
soapstones?
Ox.
Soapstones?
Yeah, these are stone carvings that I've gotten on trips up north over the years. Look at this guy.
There goes Rebs.
Suddenly, you look around your office and you have all these memories, bud. That's all it is.
Lisa's home, bud.
Good time to end it. We'll leave it right there. Good job, bud.
We'll see you soon.
Take care, bud.
Bananas are potassium. Bananas are yellow. Bananas,
bananas come in bunches. Sometimes there's tarantulas in them.
Oh.